Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of Broken English. My name is Andrew Mahar and I am the host and creator of this podcast. Pretty much what I'm trying to do with this show is travel around the city of Chicago and interview people who have immigrated to the United States and try to get their stories of coming here. What it took to move here, uprooting your entire family and learning a new way of life and culture and the language barrier and what those struggles were like. Pretty much I'm just trying to bring the human side back to the word immigrant. This past year has gotten incredibly lost in politics, and all I'm trying to show is that these people are not just a political talking point. They are human beings, they are living here, and they are trying their hardest to adapt, and I'm very excited to release this first episode. As you listen, if you can think of anyone who lives in Chicago that has immigrated here, you can email me at brokenenglishpodcast@gmail.com. I will respond as soon as possible, and we can set up a date and time to sit down and interview. I can go anywhere. I can go to people's apartments, colleges, libraries, study rooms, anywhere that's available where I can sit down and get their story. This first interview is a buddy of mine named Miguel. He moved here from Mexico and now lives in Chicago, and I'm very excited to release it to you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. All right, and we're here for our first episode with our very first guest of the Broken English Podcast. It's a buddy of mine named Miguel. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Miguel.
It's Miguel Galvan.
Awesome. And how old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
And you're from Mexico originally, right?
Yes.
And how old were you when you came over here?
I was 12 years old.
Did your whole family come over?
Yeah, my mom, my dad, and my sister.
Where in Mexico are you from?
I was born in Mexico City, but my family is from the state of Michoacán.
Okay. And how far away from, the border is that?
In car, must be, 30 hours.
30 hours? Wow, yeah. So you had to drive from where you were to the border and then cross?
Yes.
And all of you guys were all jammed into one car?
No, usually we come in those bus.
Oh, in a bus. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, there was more than just your family there?
Well, when I came with my dad, there was only me and my dad and another a group of people.
Mm.
And we were, 17 in the group.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's nuts. So, let me just backtrack here a little bit. So you were 12 and your dad came home and was like, we're going to the United States?
Yeah, because usually they were here before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were here 3 years before. So they go back to Mexico, and then one of the days they just say, we're going to the United States.
Gotcha. So they had lived here before you were born?
No, usually they came here when I was 9.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So they were here 3 years, and they come back to Mexico.
Both your parents?
Yes.
So who'd you stay with when you were in Mexico?
I was with my father, my grandmother.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Wow, and so were they just here finding a job and scoping it out?
Yeah, working and, they make some money, but, life in Mexico is a little bit hard.
A little bit, huh? Yeah, I've heard some things, yeah.
And, they decide to bring us here.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I don't know what it'd be like to say we have to go, it's yeah. Better here, to have my parents take off for a few years would have been nuts. I mean, for them to be like, hey, we're just gonna go to another country and see if this is worth it and see if we want to go, that's incredible to me. It's mind-boggling to think that they had to make that decision, to walk yeah. away. So they were here, and so they came. Why did they choose Chicago out of every other city in the country? Do you know?
Because they were here. Some family members of my dad's side.
Oh, okay.
So they told me, if you just came here, we're going to have a room for you,
mm.
space mm-hmm. to live.
Gotcha. So they had come over his family had been here a while and had a space for them to stay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And it's just, so they came up for a few years. They figured out where to live, figured out that they could have, bring you guys back. And so when, did they come over illegally the first time?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they went back?
They went back and we came back with illegal too.
And so if you were, so what does Mexico do if they were to catch your parents? Do they care if you, does Mexico care if they came to the United States?
No.
Just the U.S. cares?
Yeah, like, the Mexican government, they don't care because there's no lot of work.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, so there's, yeah, so they didn't have work there anyways?
Yeah, so.
How hard is it to sneak into Mexico? Is it easy?
Usually, yes. From here to
yeah.
Oh, in that time you only had to have your ID, and that's you can come back to Mexico.
Oh, so they don't ask any questions. They're just like, oh, you live here, you can come back. Yeah. Gotcha. So they snuck over the first time, then just walked back through the gates the next time.
Now, if I want to go to Mexico, I have to have my passport.
Oh, so right.
They ask for a passport too.
Yeah, they lock that down even going to Canada, where I've gotten stopped coming back into the United States without a passport. And I had my birth certificate, but it didn't count. Like, they put me on a list and stuff. So, yeah, they lock down the north border and the south border. It's crazy to think that Mexico just doesn't care if anyone leaves. You know, I mean, I guess the United States doesn't know if I were to move either, but, I mean, so many people are coming over. I mean, you're coming over 17, 15 people at a time. You're losing a lot of people.
Yeah, we're a big group.
Yeah. So they came back over, and then they went all the way back 30 hours back to your town or your city, got you guys, and went all the way back to the border?
Well, they stick around like for, we stick around like for 2 months.
Mm.
And gotcha. They just came like, and we're going, and I got no choice, right? So I'm a teenager, so I'm a kid.
Yeah.
So they just say, you're leaving, and say goodbye to everything.
Wow. Wow, so you were 12. So what did they tell you the United States was like? Did they say like it's great there or it's better there or?
They told me the life was better, and actually, because they want me to like get a better life.
Yeah, right. That was the whole thing. It was for you guys, not for the. So they went over and worked their asses off so that you guys could hopefully have a little better spot.
Yeah, study and. Well, now I'm here.
Yeah, right. And you made it. You made it here. And that's the whole point of these interviews and these things is, or what I'm trying to do with the podcast alone is that I just want to get it out that you made it here.
Yeah.
You were a child. So your parents came down and they're just like, hey, give up everything. Because when I was young, my parents said we were going to move to another state. Now this is me relating a really minuscule problem compared to something very serious, right? So I was told, hey, we're going to pick up and move everything to another... We're moving to Tennessee from New York. And I was like, that sounds terrible, right? I put up a huge fight. Now, granted, I was like 16 or 17. I lost my mind. I was like, no way. And for some reason, they listened to me. But and so we didn't move, but they did eventually. So I had that feeling for a second of you're going to give up everything and move to a place. Now, granted, everyone in Tennessee speaks English, so I was fine. You know, it was okay. And they didn't say, hey, we're going to pack up and move to a place where it's going to be a struggle. Now, was it an easier life? Did you come here and be like, wow, this is awesome?
Well, that was a little bit difficult because of the language.
Right. Okay. So did they speak any English at all?
My mom, not that much. My dad speaks a little bit.
Oh, okay. They don't teach English at all where you're from?
No.
In those schools or anything? Gotcha. Because I know there are some places that do, and then just like there, you know, our schools here teach Spanish type deal. I just didn't know if that was the case here. But yeah, so I mean, you came up and then they just kind of... They just stuck you in a school?
Yeah, they stuck me in school. I was a good low because I found good Mexican boys.
Gotcha.
They helped me a lot in school. Now they're one of my best friends.
Oh, okay. So they've also moved here from there?
No, actually, They came from another part of Mexico.
Okay.
But they've been here since he was like babies.
Gotcha. Okay, so they speak English, but they also speak Spanish very well. Yeah, could help you like navigate.
Yeah, they helped me a lot when on seventh grade.
Gotcha.
When I was here, there was two brothers and a lot of other friends that helped me a lot with the language and everything that I didn't understand. They helped me.
Gotcha.
Then there was like good guys that helped me, and there was like the bad guys, you know, when you don't know nothing about the language, they try to
take advantage of you.
Yeah. They tried a lot of times, and there were these guys that they helped me, always helped me, like, no, don't say that because there's something bad.
Oh, so they were like messing with you to like get you so that you would get in trouble?
Yeah.
So they think it's like funny or something?
Yeah, they would try to make fun of me. And,
These are also like young Mexican guys who speak Spanish and are like trying to trick you because they thought it was funny that you just moved all the way here.
Yeah.
That's so messed up. That's crazy. That's like one little thing. Like, and that's the whole deal is that like these, you know, the kid, I never thought about a kid moving here, you know?
Yeah.
I always think of like grown adults and like I see people around Chicago and I never picture what it would be for a child. So when you told me originally that you were, you know, 11 or 12 when you did this, I couldn't believe it, you know, that you made the trek. So let's backtrack a little bit. So your parents came in, they said, we're moving in a couple months. We're going there. And you mentioned that it costs money to cross the border illegally.
Yes.
How much does it cost?
When I came here, the for person, they were charging like $2,000.
Wow.
So now they move the change the price. I think they're like some people pay like $3,500.
Wow. That's per person?
Yeah.
So you're saying in a group of So in a group of 10 people, 20 people, these guys are making $30,000-$60,000 for a week.
Yeah, crossing the border and put you on the road and boom, you're going to your place.
So I don't know much about it, but I do know that some of those guys they're called in the United States they're called coyotes. The guys that's what you guys call them too.
Yes.
People who sneak you over.
Coyote.
Are they? How do you meet these people? Did your dad just like know a guy, or do you like ask around, or do they advertise? I don't know how you would contact someone to sneak you into a country. It sounds crazy.
My dad, he knows. He used to know a guy who was plugs or connections. And then
connections. Yeah.
So these guys, I will send you like 20 people, and I'm gonna pay you some money and just crossing them to the border line.
Gotcha. Because that also blows my mind that that's even a profession. That like that some guy found like that path over the fence or around the fence or something, and then they made that happen. That's incredible.
And people had to pay. Have to sell properties, cars, you know, all like their stuff over in Mexico.
Yeah.
So you can pay.
Yeah. Right. Because that's U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So sometimes they don't ask in Mexico, but they ask for dollars.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I would ask for dollars too, as opposed to pesos. So and on top of it, you can't take that stuff with you.
Yeah.
So you got to sell it anyways.
Sell everything.
So when you do you think now this is just me and you've been back to Mexico since then and you could talk to your like do you think when someone on your like in your neighborhood is like selling everything you like know that they're gonna jump over the border?
Well,
if you're like, hey, I'm selling my house and my car,
I'm selling everything. You know they're moving. Oh, so maybe if they're selling everything, it's because they're moving out of the country or they got other problems, right? Like in Mexico, it's like every day it's a kidnapping, you know?
Oh, kidnapping.
Yeah, so people, that's another big thing from Mexico. Like,
I've seen like this is my little exposure to it. Like, yeah, there's like movies about it and stuff where I'm like, you know, you see the movies and you're like, that's terrible. But it's terrifying. I mean, and they're picking up anybody, right? They're just picking up kids or important kids.
Yeah. So no, but they do with Well, if they see that you got some money,
yeah,
well, they got a good car. They're going to what for you, like.
So they take a kid in exchange for like a car, or exchange for the money for the car.
For money,
because you have money. If you can buy that car, then you clearly have money. Wow. So there's like people out there just stalking families to see if they have money or not.
Yeah.
That's insane to think that you would almost be better off not. You'd be like okay, like don't be rich, don't be poor, but like kind of just under the radar.
Yeah, like between.
Wow, that's. Yeah, and then, so what do you, you know, it's like, what do you work for? You know, like, you want to work harder to be more comfortable, but the minute you're more comfortable, someone's going to come and take your child.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's incredible. Yeah, and so that's one of the fears of why you guys, there's like something of reason why you guys left, because it's just like, that stuff's happening all the time?
They happen all the time, and you just want, like, to move. Like, right now in the little town where my parents are, they're saying that there's people, you know, like they come to your house, knock the door. I know if you have this, like cars and all this stuff. We want the money, or we want the car in this location, leave the keys, and we don't ask for more. Like one of my uncles, they take a truck from California to Mexico, to Michoacán. And like the same day that he get there to this town, they were gunmen.
Yeah, people with guns.
Waiting
yeah.
for him.
For when he was coming home?
Yeah.
With the truck to steal it from him? Yeah. And they just took the truck?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do, because they have guns. You don't. You just get out of the
truck.
If you
try to arc hard, they won't shoot you.
They just shoot you, yeah. Oh, man. And that's... So, and that's not even, like, that uncommon. Yeah. And so that's like... And those are... That's like organized people, right?
Yeah, so and. Sometimes you cannot go to the police because police in Mexico work with these guys.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
At least, and now people, I mean, and there is corruption in the United States. Police, I mean, Chicago, New York, LA, of course, and like to say exactly what it is, who knows? You know, of course there's people doing weird stuff, but bad stuff. But that's, I don't think people are working with kidnappers. You know, like I'm sure they're taking money to not say stuff, but that's kidnapper, thieves, all that stuff. That's incredible. So, and so you guys got into a bus. These coyotes came and picked you up from where you were. You took a bus up to the border?
We work in Sonora, Mexico, and they took us to a little city called Caborca.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, from like the crossing way that they have, there was like 3 hours driving.
Oh, to get to the actual spot.
Yeah. So when we go there, they just say, okay, guys, they pull you like something that, you know, the snakes, there's a lot of snakes in there.
Wow. Yeah.
So they put you like lotion, so they...
Oh, to not attract animals?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because they're like get the scent off of you?
Yeah.
Then, so these guys just show up and they give you this stuff because they know, like, hey, snakes are out there. Snakes in between from where we're going to where we're from, there are huge snakes that could kill you.
Yeah.
Please, and then if you, and you're 12.
Yeah.
So you're scared out of your mind, right?
Like,
yeah, and you just, covering yourself with this stuff.
I was with my father, my uncle, my cousin that is like 5 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
So you just put all this lotion in your feet, your hands, and let's go start walking in the desert.
So you went up to this town, and then you guys said you were working in this town, or you guys were all in this town, and then this guy came and met you and started telling you how to get through. And there's 3 hours from that town to the border. So you just have to... And that's 3 hours driving or 3 hours walking?
Oh, driving.
3 hours driving, and then you had to walk there?
And no, so they drop us over there, and then we start walking. We walked 2 days, I think.
You walked for 2 days straight?
Yeah.
At 12 years old?
And one night at the desert.
Hey, what did you guys do for food?
Usually, there's a little stores just like in the little town where I told you.
Right, right.
So you prepare yourself with food cans
mm-hmm.
and water. So my dad bought like 3 gallons of water and some tuna fish
mm-hmm.
and cans and cookies, and that was all the food.
Yeah, so you have to carry it on your back until yeah. you're going. Wow. And then as you go, so you were, and you're just a little kid seeing your parents and your uncles and stuff go through this.
Yeah,
man. And so they just say get walking. And how, when you say you walked all day, you just didn't stop, or you would like stop sometimes? Were there like women with you? Were there like older people? Was it just, it sounds like it was just men. Were there like, yeah. were there older people?
Or we were only, all, we were only men. There was only one lady.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we take sometimes breaks, like 30-minute breaks when yeah. the sun was very hot, you know.
Yeah, you're in the desert. Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. So, I'm not judging you for having to stop for a
like,
second.
110 or something. We had
degrees?
To stop. Yeah, so we had to stop for a bit. And the night when we sleep, it's cold, very cold.
How, and when you say, how cold is cold? Like
when you are shaking, like, ooh, because it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cold, maybe around 30s,
40s. Yeah, but desert cold. Because I know that it gets tremendously cold. I just didn't realize that even in Mexico, how cold it could get. You know, because I picture it as like hot as hell. You know, 110 yeah. degrees. It must be 80 at night.
Now, I never seen that was in the news. There was snow too. They were like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this guy's got it easy, huh?
Yeah.
The new guys were jumping over and just having a grand old time up there, building snowmen and stuff. And, it's crazy to think that they would, you know, that your dad saw you and was like, because your dad had already done this before, right?
Yeah.
He did that 3 years ago, so he knew how hard it was.
Yep.
And you said you had a little sister with you?
No, usually my sister was a better lucky because she crossed on the borderline
mm-hmm.
with these people. I don't know how these people do it, but they got a like fake passports, visa, and all the stuff. So they used, in the borderline, they said my sister looked like the girl in the picture, and they're like, okay, you can.
Wow.
Yeah. So
she got to drive across.
Yeah.
Do you ever rub that in her face sometimes? I walked here.
Yeah.
What have you ever done?
Yeah.
You came over in a
just
van.
Sitting in the car, just smile to the.
So your parents put her in a car with strangers alone to cross the border?
There was my. I think it was people that my dad knows.
Uh-huh. Oh, some of your family knew
that kind of. So they crossed with her in the car, but I had to walk.
So do you think, at that point, if she got over so easy, do you think there's someone on the border, like, kind of letting a slide?
Yeah, I guess.
Probably. I mean, that sounds pretty sneaky. You know what I mean? To be like, hey, this kid kind of looks, I don't know. That's just me brainstorming at this point. But there's got to be someone on the inside.
Yeah.
So you go up, and you're in three, so you go the whole day. A whole night and then a whole another day before you even get to the border?
Yeah, when they told me we were going to cross the border, I was like thinking of a big wall or something like that.
Right,
no,
yeah.
There was only like the sticks with those...
The barbed wire fence?
Yeah.
That's it?
I was like, this is the borderline?
This is the United States of America. Yeah, you're expecting this great grand...
Yeah, and so on the night you can see far away the city. I think that was... Douglas, Arizona.
Douglas, Arizona?
Yeah, so far away.
Yeah.
So you can see the license. I'm asking my dad, oh, that's where we're going? No, we're going to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, I've been to Phoenix. That's nowhere near the border. Yeah, yeah, that's way further
so
up.
So we were walking in the night, and you had to be more quiet and be careful that the day, because on the night we heard motorcycles, helicopters of the Border Patrol.
So is that on the Mexico side or the American side?
No, American side. We were in the American side where we heard the helicopters. They were looking for people and the motorcycles.
Wow. So you had gotten over. You thought you made it. You got to the border and you're like, we did it. We're in the United States. Yeah. We made it. And then all of a sudden, you were being followed by helicopters and people on dirt bikes and stuff trying to find you.
And they say, we didn't still made it till we get a Phoenix.
Wow.
So that was midnight when they pick us up. Mm-hmm. There was two cars for a 50 person.
For 50 people?
Yeah. So in one car they're going 8, in the other 7.
Uh-huh. Oh, 15 people. Gotcha. Yeah, so you're in regular cars and they jammed 8 people into a regular car? Yeah, what kind of car? It was like a little, like a sedan, like a little car?
Yeah, a small sedan. So, but the way they say, okay, 8 people in this car, 7 in this car. I was supposed to come in the passenger front seat.
Uh-huh.
But between the legs of the guy who walked with us.
Uh-huh. The coyote guy?
Yeah, the coyote. And for a good reason, I don't know, maybe the guy who's up there.
Yeah.
One of the guys that you're supposed to go with us,
uh-huh,
jump in the other car. So in the other car, there were 9 people. And in this car, there's only 6. So they put me on the trunk.
So you were in the trunk?
Yeah, so... in the trunk, I crossed with my cousin. And we went get there to Phoenix. The driver of the car tried to make an illegal U-turn.
Why? You're filled with illegal people. Why would you make an illegal U-turn? And use your blinkers. What are you doing?
He tries to win to a pickup truck. So the pickup truck hit the car in the middle of the door, between the front door.
Yeah.
And the car spun like 2 times.
Filled with you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were in the car.
In the car.
He made a U-turn.
Illegal.
The truck hit the car.
Boom. Spun a couple times.
And you guys were already in the United States. You were in like Texas or Arizona.
There was Phoenix, Arizona.
You were in Phoenix and everything. So you had pretty much made it to where you were going. You were supposed to make it to Phoenix.
Yeah.
You made it to Phoenix. And then you got hit by... And you were in the trunk just getting rolled around?
Yeah, fast. And I remember my dad opened the trunk and took me by the hand. Because in the three front seats were my uncle, another guy, and my dad.
Yeah.
So I was in the trunk with my cousin. So when he opened the trunk... The first time my dad grabbed me from the hand, and we started running. Because my dad told her the police were coming.
Police are coming, there's
a border patrol coming, maybe. So, my ankles, he couldn't run because he got badly hurt.
Oh, in the accident?
Yeah, so he couldn't walk. So my cousin stayed with him. So my dad tries to follow the driver.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows where the house where we stayed.
So you guys are chasing the car.
The driver. The driver.
Okay, yeah, so you're
because he run. Like, but we couldn't follow him. So we go into the parking lot and hide there for like 2 hours. When for the police came, we heard the police ask my uncle, hey, how long you been here in Phoenix? My uncle said, a couple days. Okay, we don't want you. We want the driver.
Right, we want the guy who's bringing you over.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are fine to go. So they took my uncle and my cousin and the other guy. And, they were left. Just me and my dad. And Phoenix with, I think it was $2, something like that. Guy that I have in my packet in coins. And,
wait, so you had $2?
Yeah.
Your entire family, your dad, your uncle, your cousin... And your uncle's hurt. You're alone in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And your driver just got arrested.
No, he ran away.
Oh, he got away.
Yeah.
Okay, but the cops were looking for the driver.
Yeah, but he never...
Okay, so the cops were looking for the driver. You guys were... Or your uncle and cousin were let go.
Yeah.
Because it's very similar, I think, to drug busts, where they don't want the guy who's doing drugs. They want the guy who's selling the drugs.
Yeah.
Right, so they're trying to catch the driver to the house that you guys are going to.
Yeah,
right?
So the guy who... The main guy who do all the movements, they pick up my uncle and my cousin, right? So, and we didn't know. So we see that everybody was gone. What do we do? So my dad, let's go. And we start walking in the middle of the night. And I see that he was got a cut right here on his right side. He was bleeding.
Your dad did?
Yeah, he was bleeding. So we don't got money, right? And like $2.
$2, yeah.
So my dad said, okay, you know what? Let's go take a rest. And we figure out tomorrow morning.
Right.
So I sleep my first night in the United States City. On the back side of the 7-Eleven. Now, you know where they put the garbage
container,
the dumpster, next to the dumpster, just covered with cardboard.
Wow. So you made it all the way here. You're already mad at your parents for taking you away from Mexico, for taking away from your town, because you have an LA family.
Yeah.
And you get here, you're tossed into a truck, you get into a car accident. He makes you walk even further, and then you have to sleep outside behind a 7-Eleven in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And do you have water on you? Do you have food on you? You don't have anything? Just $2 in your pocket?
Yeah, only $2. I lost my birth certificate in the car accident with all my papers. They were there.
So they're just in the trunk of this car somewhere?
Yeah. We start walking around like 6 in the morning. We were in the park, and my first breakfast was water from a park.
Just water from a park?
Yeah.
That was your first meal in the United States, was just clean water?
From the park.
And then what did you guys do? Did your dad know where this house was that you were supposed to go meet up? No, so you're just alone in Phoenix.
Yeah, I gave it to him the coins, and he starts making calls on a payphone.
Yeah.
So they pick up the phone. That was like 10 in the morning. Okay, we'll be there. Just let me know where the street is. Okay, my dad, like, okay, this is what can I read the middle of the street. Well, me and my dad wait for them like for 2 more hours. Till they picks up.
Really? So then there's people that your dad met back when he was here originally? Or someone that he knew? He came and picked you guys up and brought you to a house?
Yeah, so when we get to the one of the house, there was the coyote guy.
The guy who was driving?
No, the other guy. The guy who was the coyote. The guy from the...
over the border? Followed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw him. And he got a broken leg because when the truck hit, the door squished his legs. So he told me, man, I was so worried about you.
In the trunk? Yeah, when he got hit, he was like, oh my God, there's kids in the trunk.
Yeah, no, but he told me, oh, well, I was super worried about you because you're supposed to come between my legs. You know?
So, oh.
He told me, he gave me a hug, and like, hey kid, I think
you would have died.
Yeah.
You would have been between his legs that got crushed.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. You just wake up every day and be like, well, better than getting in a car in Arizona. That's, yeah, man, and that's crazy. And so did you guys like just beat up the driver for taking a U-turn, or what did you just...
The driver show up and they call them security house, right?
A security house?
Yeah.
Kind of like
where they bring the illegal people illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there and they show up. So my dad, he didn't do nothing, but the guy, the big guy who controls everything, they hit him in the face.
Why really?
Why do you do that?
Yeah.
You're almost... They told him you were like 10 minutes away from the security house. Why do you do that?
Yeah, you put us all in danger. Yeah. My kids were in the trunk. I didn't, man.
Yeah, so, well, when we was there, we wait for my sister to come to that house. They bring her and they bring my mom too. Because my mom crossed the border, but... with another ladies.
Oh, with a group of women?
Yeah. So they bring my mom and when they say, okay, now next week we're taking off to Chicago.
So you waited in Arizona, in Phoenix, at the safe house for your whole family to show up there. You guys all met, yeah. And then they said, hey, next week we're going. We're
leaving. Yeah, I spent, 2 weeks there?
And so when you were a kid, were you just hanging out in the house? Were you playing? Were you scared?
Well, there's only TV in there. They got no games for kids.
Yeah.
So just being there and like every day watching movies. Sometimes they, because there was like two guys, the husband and wife,
uh-huh.
in charge of the house.
Oh, who run the safe house.
Yeah, so they used to take me out to buy water, to buy food.
Oh, to get out of the house and kind of go.
Yeah, because they say, oh, it's a kid, you know, he wants to be out because we had to have all day the curtains and the windows closed.
Oh, right. So because you've got a bunch of people in the house that are all illegal.
So just think about all day dark the place.
For 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, so,
Oh, you couldn't even go outside and play.
No.
You were stuck inside and told to be quiet because people didn't know you were there.
Just watching movies.
And were these people that run the safe house, were they Americans? Were they Mexicans who bought a house?
Oh, they're Mexican Americans.
Oh, okay.
You know, like they need like people to control there, and like they know English and.
Oh, so they can go back and forth. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So, did part of that money that you paid for, did that go to paying for the safe? So, when you paid $2,000 per person. Did that $2,000 cover you staying in that house? That $2,000 got you all the way to Chicago, or that just got you to Phoenix?
No, to Chicago.
Wow. So before they even left, your dad and were like, hey, we're going all the way to Chicago. What does it cost? And then paid all the way there. So this guy, this coyote or whoever's running it, is paying the safe house probably, right? They got to pay for food and all that stuff. So you're staying at this house with these people. And how did you get from Phoenix to Chicago?
I don't know how they did, but we came in a plane.
You got into an airplane?
Yeah.
Was it a big airplane or
small? No, it was a small plane. Well, actually, no, there was a commercial airplane, but there was only my parents, my sister, and I think the big guy who
runs the whole thing?
Yeah, he came here. He came there with another two ladies. So we get to Midway.
Wow.
Airport.
So in what year was this?
We're talking about 2002.
So you did this after 9/11. So 9/11, the whole terrorist attack in New York City that locked down all the airports since then. It hasn't let up since. You guys got onto a plane. You went to an airport?
Yeah,
You went into the Phoenix airport.
Yeah.
You got into a regular airplane with fake IDs and stuff?
I lost all my papers in the car accident.
Yeah, yeah.
I have papers.
And they let you buy tickets and get on this airplane? Well, you said you didn't know how they did it. But so even if they must have pulled something crazy because right now, as an American citizen, I couldn't get on an airplane without an ID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as someone who probably was raised here, I could talk about my whole life. I couldn't get on. So you just took a plane from Phoenix. That was the easiest part of the trip, right? You just got into an airplane, you landed in Midway.
Yeah.
And then you're just in one of the biggest cities you've ever been to. Or you were in, this is huge, right? Is Chicago, Mexico City, how is that like?
They say that Mexico City is like the two or three more biggest cities in the world.
Okay, gotcha. Now, and I've only like seen, you know, things of it, but I didn't realize that, you know, how big it was. There is so size wise. So you just get, after all that work, you just go after the struggling and the running from the border patrol and ICE and all these guys, and you just get on an airplane.
Yeah,
that was so easy. In the most tense time in the United States of America, for a person who is living here during now this blows my mind. More than some of this other stuff that you actually,
Man, you couldn't get a pencil sharpener onto an airplane after 9/11. And you guys got onto an airplane in the United States clearly, I mean, your parents were all legal, and no one, you weren't the only person that didn't have papers, you know what I mean? Like, the other guy, that's...
And, my mom still had the plane tickets.
She still does now?
Yeah.
Like today? Oh, yeah, I'd be having tattooed on my arm, but we got
the plane tickets from that date.
That is incredible. I mean, that's something you save.
Yeah, when I apply for my papers, I had to show up like a proof in which year that I came to this country. So they took a picture to the ticket.
Really?
Like I had to prove like in which year that I came to this country. Like,
are they gonna try to charge you for those taxes you missed in the beginning?
No, I have not.
because that's the biggest thing as far as like the politics go, is that now when you say the word, like, and this is what we're talking about before, but when you say the word immigrant, I never thought of anything negative. I mean, there are people who are like mad at like competition, like someone who will paint a house for $100 when there's someone who's lived here a whole life who wants $700 to paint a house and they won't do it for $100, you know. So it's with that, I'm trying to think of how I want to word this. That's why I think people get so mad is the tax side of it. It's like people moved here. People think they're living off of the system. I mean, you guys don't. I mean, you guys work every dollar you make, you keep, right? I mean, it's not like.
Well, my dad has been paying taxes for 8 years.
So he pays taxes he's been paying, like, so is he legal or illegal?
No, he's illegal, but he's paying taxes.
So he's illegal, but he is still paying taxes?
Yeah.
How does he pay taxes if he's
he wants to be like the more straight with the government, like they're saying, like, maybe one of these days they come, like, I don't know, what was the name of this thing?
Well, they call it amnesty.
Yeah, the amnesty.
Amnesty, okay.
So, gotcha. They heard the news, like, the people that have been doing everything good, no problems with the police, with taxes.
Yeah, you're just regular people.
Yeah, they will be, like, more able to get those papers.
Mm.
So, the only police problem my mom has is like one ticket.
A parking ticket?
Yeah.
If they send her back for that, that's BS. Yeah. I'll let a parking ticket slide.
So that's my mom's like the big problem with the police. But like my dad tries to be like the most possible straight in the laws that he can.
Okay. So have you heard of people getting caught? What happens if you get caught? They just bring you back, or do they arrest you, or what did they tell you happens?
My dad told me, because he got arrested when he was here in 1987. Him and mom, they were here, right? So they tried to move him to Oregon.
They went all the way from Mexico to Oregon?
No, they were here for like 5 months in Chicago, and then. My dad and some friends, they told, hey, let's go to Oregon. There's more job over there, more work opportunity.
Yeah.
So they took the metro, I think a train.
Yeah, just across the country?
Yeah, so when they were in Montana, the border patrol do an inspection, and they called him.
So there was a border patrol. Were they trying to catch people coming from Canada?
I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, you weren't there. Right. I'm just trying to picture why there would be border patrol in Montana.
Yeah.
Unless they were trying to secure the northern border from people coming down.
Yeah, so they get caught in Montana, and they were there for like 10 days.
Wow.
So my dad say they put all the men on the one side and the woman one side.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was alone in one cell, and my dad was with my three uncles.
So your whole family was on this train trying to go to Oregon to get more work. So your family was just chasing all the chasing work at that point. Yeah. They just all they wanted was to make a living.
Yeah.
So they literally came here to just try to work.
Yeah, to make some money for the people that are in Mexico, you know.
Right, to pay for that. Yeah, because I've heard of the like sending money over and all that stuff, and that's so they got caught. What did they sent them back to Mexico?
Yeah, so they got them for like 10 days in the like in a place for all the immigrants people got caught.
Gotcha.
So they say when they put it on the plane, they're going with handcuffs and hands and the feet.
Yeah. Oh, they shackled them in the airplane? Yeah.
So they send them, I don't know, I think they were like Ciudad Juarez. Mexico.
Oh, okay.
It's from Mexico. They had to... There's people that, when they get caught, they jump again the same day.
Sure. Yeah. Well, hey. Yeah. Well, especially if you're running from something to Mexico, you might as well get
so,
out.
So, but my parents, that moment, they take off and they went to Mexico for like a month and then they come back.
Oh, okay. So they got caught. And so when they... And I don't know if you know all this information because clearly this was your parents' story, but... when they got caught, they flew him to Mexico and then they landed, they just unhandcuffed him and sent him home.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you guys got caught. Yeah. That's sorry. And they, wow, I guess I thought that, I guess I thought that Mexico would be more angry. They would be like, hey.
So right now I have a work permit.
Okay.
Gotcha. So,
what does that mean? What does having a work permit mean?
It's like, they call them the U visa. Is and they gave it to you when you get a you are a victim when you're a victim of assault or how you call it?
Like a crime?
Yeah, crime.
Okay.
So I was a victim 3 years ago on a Chicago flea market.
What? Do you mind me asking? What happened?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to. I just didn't want to get like too. You know, too much. So what happened?
Well, this African American guy. He just for nothing hit me with a you know those picture frames that are they got a glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For nothing, he just hit me. Boom, and my front head.
He hit you in the head. He just walked up and wailed you in the head.
Yeah.
With a picture? How big was the picture frame?
There was like those 10 inches by 10 inches, big like this.
Oh, okay.
So they just hit me like this, boom, like in the face. So they got called by the police.
Uh huh.
And I went to court. They said I went to 4 times to the court, like the one that is in Belmont and Western. I went
to
times.
Oh, yeah, I live over by there. Yeah.
I went to times right there. I went to the one that is, that was in Washington, by the, on the downtown.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, downtown.
And I went to the 26th Street.
Oh, 26th in California?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
So when we were there, they told them, you know what, you're going to India for 6 months. And they were like, okay. So then I heard this guy, the law, cat's law is a lawyer's like law. And I heard that if you are baked in on this, you can come and talk to me.
Like, oh, it was a lawyer who said that if you got hurt, you could.
Yeah, I heard it in the radio.
Oh, gotcha. So, is that like, are those, because I see those billboards and stuff all over the place. So those are like lawyers that are trying to help people get set up.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So,
well, I get there and they told me, by your case, you're going to apply for a U visa. And it's almost 100% that they're going to give it to you.
Because you got hurt.
Yeah, and I like, and the papers say if you got like disfiguration,
mm-hmm.
Or you can get it. So, well, they charged me like $4,000. You know, they have.
The lawyer charged you, or the United States charged you to fill out the paperwork?
To fill out the paperwork and the lawyer too.
Oh, to do all the contracts process. And all the stuff?
So one day I received a call from a lawyer. Hey, you know what? I need you to come tomorrow. I got a great news for you. So I went there and he told me, you got the, like, the perdón from the, when you get a paper from, they get a paper, like, the, DC, Washington DC give me the, because I, like, I came illegal.
Oh,
they give you, like, the, called perdón,
like a pass.
Yeah.
To stay?
Yeah, so they give me that paper. He say, you got this paper. Now we're going to see if they give you the 4 years of the work permits.
Give you 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so from that, so they send you that paperwork. You send them all this money, and then this lawyer called you up and said, hey, it happened. It worked. You got 4 years.
Four years.
To get your life together here.
Yeah, so I went and take out my social security, driver license. And they told me, if you do your taxes like for 3 straight years, usually we had to do it now for life, right?
Sure, yeah, well, forever.
If I want to be here.
Unfortunately, forever you have to do your taxes, yeah.
They told me, okay, at the 3rd year, we can apply for the residence.
Okay.
So, still got 2 more years. And I need to not have problems with the police.
Oh, right. Well, that makes sense for you to be able to stay. Yeah. So as long as you stay out of trouble, because you got hurt, that opened you up to be able to get residency here.
Yeah.
Do you follow American politics at all? Like the president, the presidential election. Are you following?
I'm watching the news.
So you're watching the news. So. What do you think about Donald Trump? He is, I hate to bring him up because he clearly sucks. He is a terrible human being who is making wild accusations about people. And I think a lot of it is to make people watch him because it's people are interested in it. So are you afraid of him becoming president? For your family and for the people who are here? Because he says that he's going to get all the military to come knock down doors and send 11 million people back to Mexico. Is that for real?
Well,
do you think are you guys afraid?
Afraid? Not really, because I know for he wants to do something, they have to do go to the Congress, something like that.
Yes, he'd have to. He couldn't. Part of it, that's where I kind of lose it, because if you were to declare it an emergency, like a state of emergency, he can do whatever he wants. So if he was like, they're going to, every Mexican, every immigrant, not even Mexican, I mean, you're talking Polish people, Russian people,
all over the world.
He could just say immigrants in general, and then he could just declare a national emergency and then do whatever he wants. I mean, hopefully, of course, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But and he might not even be president, but at this point, he could be. He could be the guy who decides whether we're going to, So when you guys are like sitting around at your house and your dad and your mom are around and you see that on the news, what do you guys think? Are you mad? Are you pissed? Because he's lying, right?
First, I was like very pissed, right? Because like he said, Mexicans, we came here, Mexico sent his bad people with drugs and all this guy,
rapists and criminals. Those were his words, almost exactly.
When he said, they said, they came with drugs and all these problems. I didn't remember. Came here with a bag of drugs in my bag.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you bring a bag at all, actually.
Yeah, there was a water gallon.
So then, yeah,
and,
I didn't have room for cocaine. I have all this water.
Yeah, we think that he's crazy, and we hope that, I think a great country like America, he don't deserve a president like him.
So, before we finish this up, is there anything else that you want the entire internet to know before we close this out?
Well, just like I told you before, we don't come to this country just to take their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We come because some people come because they got a family, like myself. I got no choice to come to this country.
Right.
And well, but all these 13 years that I've been in this country, I'm start learning, like, loving this city, loving the country. And I'm in love with this country. Like, it's got a lot of beautiful cities, parts you can go on.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, so you didn't come here to hurt anybody.
No.
You came here to live better.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all you guys want.
Yeah.
Just to live a little bit better.
Yes.
All right. And once again, man, thank you so much. And please, and this is the whole thing for everybody. And I'll probably mention this in another part of the podcast as well. But I want people to know this wasn't weird, right? I just want the stories. I want other people. Whether your family would want to, anyone who speaks any sort of English, because I can't, like, translate anything. I just want people to know everyone's stories. So and this is for people listening, if you have a story or you know someone who does, please contact me. Email me. Contact me the best you can, because I will come to you and we will do exactly what you just heard. And we will get the information out to everyone who wants to hear it. And that's it. Interview one, done.